independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Hammer and Nigel Show in one more time for Chad Benson. At Chad Benson Show is the Twitter handle. You can find us on Twitter as well, at Hammer and Nigel. And if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. We are live, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer sitting right over there. Hammer, it's kind of a theme we've been talking about over the past couple of days. Donald Trump is good for business. Donald Trump is good for ratings. You've got the new cable news ratings just came out. We talked a little bit about Rachel Maddow last night and MSNBC is how they're doing well. You've got a fresh look at the ratings. What are you looking at in front of you there?
All three major networks are up in the first quarter. Not one, not two. All three are up. Fox News coming in at number one. They set the record for the highest rated quarter in the history of cable news. So think back, as long as cable news has been around, Fox News, first quarter 2017, highest rated quarter ever in cable news history. But that doesn't mean that CNN and MSNBC did bad. They're also up. I mean, this is unheard of. Normally, when there's a new president that takes over or a brand new news cycle, one station will separate itself from the pack, and everybody else will either be average or may even slip just a little bit. And knowing the way that America feels about politicians right now, you would think all three would be down, but it's not the case. And you look at what MSNBC is doing right now. Granted, they came in third place, but they're right on the heels of CNN. They're winning some primetime parts, too. Rachel Maddow is doing really well for MSNBC. And whether you like him or not, CNN, Jake Tapper, is doing really well for CNN. CNN was second in overall viewers, primetime and daytime measures. MSNBC came in third. And the O'Reilly Factor on Fox News, the highest rated quarter ever for a program.
He's been on for what? I think he's been on for 20 years, 97. And this is his all-time highest? Is that what you're telling me?
The all-time highest. Yeah. And these numbers we're talking about, you know, to use, you know, a sports cliche, they're video game-like numbers. I mean, who goes up 56% in a demo in a quarter? That's what Jake Tapper and CNN did. They are up 56% from the previous year. And you look at what Fox is doing, almost 2 million viewers a night in their target demo alone. So Donald Trump,
wow,
love him, hate him, but this is a man that is good for business because the people that even despise him are making money off of him. The Washington Post, the New York Times, both of their subscriptions are up. Anytime Donald Trump insults somebody, they tend to get a spike, and we saw that with Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live is having their highest ratings they've had in years. Donald Trump is keeping people employed. And he's a hero to all of us in the media industry because he's the gift that keeps on giving. Democratic fundraising, Nigel, it is up as well.
Wow.
The people that hate Donald Trump, it's the Howard Stern syndrome, right? The people that like him, listen. The people that hate him, listen even more.
And every time Donald Trump mentions the New York Times on Twitter, their subscription rates go through the roof.
Right.
They should be paying him a kickback or something.
And if you can get a newspaper subscription to rise, that dying medium that is newspapers.
Oh my God, yeah.
You are an absolute hero. So what we've done here tonight on the Hammer and Nigel Show, being how we work in the media industry, we've got a little tribute for our hero, Donald Trump.
Well, Rosie O'Donnell's disgusting. Oh. I mean, both inside and out. You take a look at her, she's a slob. She talks like a truck driver. We're all a little chubby, but Rosie's just worse than most of us. If I were running the View, I'd fire Rosie. I mean, I'd look her right in that fat, ugly face of hers. I'd say, Rosie, you're fired. Rosie is a very unattractive person.
You look inside your heart.
I'd like to take some money out of her fat ass pockets. I like to see bad people fail. Rosie failed. I'm happy about it.
When a hero comes along,
Rosie O'Donnell's disgusting. Rosie's a person that's very lucky to have her girlfriend. And she better be careful or I'll send one of my friends over to pick up her girlfriend. Why would she stay with Rosie if she had another choice?
Okay. Media members, you owe that man a round of applause right there because he is keeping you in business and business is good.
Was that Mariah Carey? Who is that?
That was Mariah Carey.
I don't know that that song and Donald Trump necessarily should be mixed together. I'm not quite certain that when he talks about Rosie O'Donnell's fat ass pockets.
I'd like to take some money out of her fat ass pockets.
That's exactly what Mariah Carey had in mind.
Well, look, you got to look at it this way. If Hillary would have won, I think everybody would be flat.
I agree.
Everybody would be totally flat. There would not be this hysteria. Like I said it last night, it's any port in the storm for liberals. I mean, if they want to go watch, if they want to find out anything their side of view, they're going to go to MSNBC or maybe CNN. Again, on the right wing, the other side of the spectrum is Fox News. Fox News always does well, though. I feel like they do well with obviously conservatives and Republicans, but moderates. And the fact that Donald Trump, 66, how many days have he been off? It's like, 366?
Took the oath on January 20th.
It's only a few months in. Imagine what it's going to be like 4 years from now, Hammer.
I don't know if these numbers can stay, but a lot of people thought once the election was over, the news cycle would kind of go back to normal, hit a little spike, then go down. But no, this is like astronomical numbers, and all three are doing incredibly well. But it's not just the media that is making money off of President Trump. Remember Al Gore? Remember our good friend Al? You can call me Al.
He invented the internet.
He had that little movie out called An Inconvenient Truth about global warming. Well, here comes the sequel that nobody asked for. Coming out July 28th, An Inconvenient Sequel, Truth to Power. Here's a little preview.
It's supposed to be 70 degrees today. It's freezing here. Speaking of global warming, we need some global warming. It's freezing.
The most criticized scene in the movie An Inconvenient Truth was showing that the combination of sea level rise and storm surge would flood the 9/11 memorial site. And people said, what a terrible exaggeration.
Hurricane Sandy slammed into New York City last night, flooding the World Trade Center site.
Storms get stronger and more destructive. Watch the water splash off the city. This is global warming.
So raise your hand if you thought to yourself, man, we need another one of those movies to come out. I can't wait for July 28th when we get to hear Al Gore, a.k.a. Man Bear Pig from South Park, rattle off about more global warming. Will you be in line for tickets, Nigel?
I think that's the sequel nobody was looking for. I don't think. I mean, I never saw the first one. I can't comment on it. A lot of people liked it. I think a lot of people on the left watch it. It caused a lot of climate change hysteria. I'm a guy that says, I believe in climate change. I believe there is such a thing. I just don't believe in paying, carbon tax to Al Gore or Leo DiCaprio.
Right.
The hypocrisy that I see, Leo DiCaprio, that's one of his big things. It's one of Al Gore's big things. But yet they fly around on private jets coast to coast across the world, leaving a carbon footprint as big as, the Jolly Green Giant.
Right.
For God's sake. The hysteria, I don't know. I mean, I don't want America. I don't want it, where we live. I don't want New York City, California. I don't want them to wind up like China. Remember the smog problem China had during the Olympics?
Right.
I don't want them to wind up like that. But, I think I'm not going to go see The Inconvenient Truth Part 2.
Anything Al Gore does, I treat like a Michael Bay movie where, there's going to be a giant tidal wave. There's going to be some sort of explosion, somebody diving out of a building where you see an explosion in the background. He'll take a little bit of truth and fabricate it to the point to where you better get life insurance for floods tomorrow because you could be dead by the weekend. That's the way I take anything that Al Gore has to say. But I put this in a category of sequels that nobody asked for. Along the lines of Speed 2, Another Stakeout. Brothers 2000. Oh, God, that was garbage.
Another Stakeout, I think that was starring Rosie O'Donnell. I think she was in Part 2 there.
Exactly.
I think.
Teen Wolf 2.
Jason Bateman.
And Caddyshack 2.
That's got to be the worst sequel ever in the history of sequels. I'm sure we're missing some. You can tweet at us at Hammer and Nigel. Sequels that did not need to be made. What Blues Brothers 2000? Good Lord!
No John Belushi, no need. That's my honest opinion. You can't remake Animal House because you don't have John Belushi. You can't do another Blues Brothers movie because Jake Blues is dead. You can't do it.
Another stakeout. Yeah, with Richard Dreyfuss and Emilio Estevez
and Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah.
Nah. Oh, good Lord.
If we're missing a sequel that did not need to be made, again, tweet at us at Hammer and Nigel. I'm sure there's a few of them.
An inconvenient sequel, Truth to Power, Al Gore's new movie coming out. I put that in that list right there.
Coming up next, Hammer, talk about some hysteria. Michael Moore tweeted out something that was pretty outrageous.
Get out of here. You're making that up.
He's freaking out, and we'll get to that next. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show, filling in for Chad Benson.
Feeling confused? No worries. That's why he's here. This is the Chad Benson Show, setting things straight.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show, filling in for Chad Benson tonight at Hammer and Nigel, the Twitter handle. I want to get to what Michael Moore tweeted out earlier today. A little over the top, drama queen hysterical. But first, Hammer, what happened in Washington, D.C. near the Capitol today?
Long story short, a driver tried to run over Capitol officials. It wasn't a terror attack. Let's make that perfectly clear. No terror-related ties of any kind. This was more of a criminal investigation, a police chase turned into incident, if you will. But somebody tried to run over some Capitol officials today. Some shots were fired at the end. I don't believe anybody has been killed, suspect taken into custody. But this was what was fascinating. If anybody watched this live on television on Fox today, Fox had one of their Capitol Hill producers on site out there in the streets and witnessed all of this kind of go down.
There was an effort by U.S. Capitol Police to try to make a traffic stop up at the top of Capitol Hill. This is near the Library of Congress. And the vehicle in question did not respond to efforts and took off and drove down Capitol Hill. This is on the House side, down Independence Avenue, past the Rayburn Building and toward the Botanical Garden at that point. The vehicle did not stop, I am told. At that point, the driver still did not comply with orders and tried to evade officers. I am told by officials that they hit multiple cars, civilian cars, including U.S. Capitol Police vehicles. And because the suspect in question did not continue to comply, that's when U.S. Capitol Police officers discharged their weapons. And we do not believe that the suspect was hit, but they did apprehend the suspect at that point.
And that's pretty scary considering what happened in London at Westminster Bridge last week, Hammer. A terrorist over there using a vehicle as a terrorist weapon, purposely mowing down pedestrians going across that bridge. When you see something like that happen in Washington, D.C., your mind automatically flips to what happened a few days ago. And thank God nobody was seriously injured.
You're right. We're seeing a lot more, vehicles being used as weapons. That seems to be the new way that ISIS, Al-Qaeda is doing business. In years past, it was airplanes, it was suicide vests, it was a number of big over-the-top things. But now, there's a long list of things that have happened involving vehicles. Even here in the United States, go back to what happened at Ohio State recently. So just if you see something, say something. We've said this time and time again. We will continue to say it. It does not make you judgmental, does not make you a racist. If you see somebody driving erratically, doing something that doesn't look right, go ahead and say something. Call somebody. What's the worst that can happen?
Donald Trump rolling back some regulations as far as the environment is concerned. Michael Moore tweeting out his hysteria. This is from Michael Moore's verified account at MM Flint. Historians in the near future will mark today, March 28th, 2017, as the day the extinction of human life on Earth began. Thanks to Donald Trump. That was yesterday after Donald Trump rolled back some regulations, the EPA.
So we're all going to go extinct because Donald Trump is the president now. it's good to see that there's no hyperbole, no over-the-top statements from the very usually rational Michael Moore. That's shocking to me. He would go over the top on something.
And Twitter responded, as Twitter usually does. Some of the responses to this include, this is from Charles Cook, well, how do the historians survive? Again, Michael Moore, historians in the near future will mark today as the day the extinction of human life on Earth began. Well, how do the historians survive? What a smart ass. somebody named Harry tweeted, he tweeted Michael Moore's birthday, April 23rd, 1954, the day the extinction of human life on Earth began, as Michael Moore began depleting our food supply.
Fat jokes. All right.
Harry,
all right.
That's harsh. Therese Picard tweeted, Michael Moore, who flies around in a huge carbon emission jet, personal limo, hypocrites. And then Matt Couch tweeted, Wendy's is open late. You better hurry, Michael.
If you're going to be a smartass, this is what we've learned about pop culture. If you're going to be a smartass and put yourself out there, you better not be a fat ass. Because people will light you up. You're an easy target for the internet mob. Because let's be honest, smartasses on Twitter, it's like the wild, wild west. Just last week when Chelsea Handler tweeted that she hopes that the upcoming child of Donald Trump's kids, mother, doesn't have the same genes, and she spelled it J-E-A-N-S. People were sending her pictures of little bitty babies wearing Levi's.
And then yesterday, when I said that I keep a bottle of wasp spray in my sock drawer to prevent intruders from attacking me because I don't own a gun, I keep a can of wasp spray in the sock drawer. Some guy tweeted, oh, darn, I was going to rob you with a jar full of wasps. Now I'll think again. Jerk.
Sometimes the internet gets on my nerves, but other times it's pure gold.
Do you know what sexsomnia is, Hammer? Sexsomnia.
A bad cover band.
Not exactly. We'll explain next. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show, filling in for Chad Benson.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thoughts and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Cameron Nigel Show filling in for Chad Benson tonight. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. At Chad Benson Show on the Twitter, or you can get a hold of us too, at Hammer and Nigel. My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer, I learned a new term today.
Oh, yeah.
Sexsomnia.
Mm-hmm.
I had never heard of this until I saw saw this on the news. I'm not sure this is a real thing. Is this a real thing?
This is real, and no. It is very creepy. Dateline, Bloomington, Indiana.
Ah, home of the Hoosiers.
Brand new head coach down there for the college basketball program. A Bloomington man claims he was asleep when he fondled a teenage girl during a spring break sleepover. Therefore, he's not responsible for what he did.
No.
Andrew Passwaiter says he suffers from, quote, sexsomnia. Our affiliate in Indianapolis, WRTV6, has the report.
Tonight, a Bloomington man is claiming he was asleep when he fondled a teenage girl, and he says it was not his fault. Andrew Passwaiter says he suffers from sexsomnia, a condition where a person engages in sexual activities while they are asleep. Investigators say the 15-year-old girl told them she was at a sleepover and woke up to find Passwaiter fondling her on the couch. He is currently charged for felony sexual battery. Passwaiter says that he was diagnosed by a psychologist who has since died.
So this alleged psychologist that says sexsomnia is real no longer exists.
The one and only psychologist in America that came up with sexsomnia has conveniently died and could no longer testify on this dude's behalf. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, it seems like we, as a society now, like to make up words for certain things. This reminds me of the affluenza, that little weasel down in Texas.
Yeah.
You know, because you're so spoiled, we're going to make up this term, and hopefully you get off using a medical excuse. That's what they're going for here. Sexsomnia.
Because sleepwalking doesn't sound sexy.
Right.
Right?
That's not a medical condition. Sexsomnia.
They did ask, I'm looking at this story here, Hammer. Debbie Herbenick, director of the Center for Sexual Health Promotion at Indiana University, said that sexsomnia isn't very common, and those who suffer from it may exhibit different actions. Quote, the few studies that exist put it around 5 or 6% of the population. Some do talk during these episodes. Some people groan or grunt as they might during sex. So there is a range of different ways that people can experience this. This guy is probably going to jail.
Yeah, I don't want to make too much light of this story because, again, there was a sexual situation involved, an unwanted sexual advance.
And he's going to jail. He deserves to go to jail.
And the one doctor that can vouch for him is no longer living, and that's a shame, right? Go to prison, go to jail, stay there. Sexsomnia, kick rocks. Speaking of sleep, though, brand new study came out. This is from the manufacturers of the Hero Bed. They did this big study with the Harris Poll, where they surveyed over 3,000 adults, 18 and over, all over the country, about their sleeping habits.
Yeah.
This is what I found very interesting. 64% of the Americans that were surveyed believed that a better night's sleep is more appealing than having good sex. 64% of Americans say sleep is better than sex, and they even broke it down by gender. 78% of women said that, and it's around 50% of men.
Of course they did.
So my question question to you is, before we move forward, as a nation, maybe this is why we are so, you know,
tense?
Uptight and tense now and upset by everything. Maybe we need to be having some more sex.
Oh, boy. I don't know. The older I get, I rarely get the sleep that I do need. And when it's at the end of the night on a Saturday and we've been chasing around the kids all day and it's 9:30 and a good movie's on and I am dozing off.
I'm just saying, maybe we don't protest as much.
I'm going to bed. Maybe wake up in the morning and something will happen. But Saturday night, a few drinks. I've been married for a while. I'm going to bed.
I know what I do immediately after a little hibbity-dibbity. I go to sleep. It's cause and effect. You can get the best of both worlds. We can make this a better place. We just got to get a little bit more horny as an American people.
Maybe this how this dude developed sexsomnia. I don't know.
Oh, man. I think that's staggering, though. 64% of Americans say sleep is better than bumping uglies. Okay. This is why we protest speakers at colleges. This is why we can't have nice things as a country anymore. This is why we've got people writing up bills about the Lego Batman movie in Congress.
On average, how much sleep are you getting now that your kids are older, Hammer? Because mine are very young. They get up very early. I get home late from work sometimes, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night. I'm often up at 6:30 in the morning. Not asking anybody to feel sorry for me. I'm just the parents of very young kids. It happens. That's parenthood.
I would guess anywhere between 6 to 7 hours.
So that's not very much.
Eh.
I prefer 10 to 12 hours.
Well, I would too. I'd prefer to have a big case of beer in the studio, but sometimes you can't get what you want. Speaking of not getting what you want, let's talk about these Kentucky Wildcat fans real quick. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but over the weekend, Kentucky's basketball team lost an NCAA tournament game to North Carolina. Great basketball game. 75-73 was the final score. Lots of heroics down the stretch.
Came down to the last second shot.
The Kentucky fans, again, if you're not familiar with Kentucky basketball, it's religion in that state. The Bluegrass State takes Wildcat basketball very seriously. And they thought they were getting the short end of the stick on the officiating most of the game. The numbers will show that the fouls called were close to being even.
Yeah.
Free throw discrepancy wasn't overwhelming. But the Wildcat fans found out who the official was during the game. And they did a little research, thanks to the magic of the internet. They found out that he has a business, and they started attacking his business online, giving it zero ratings, one-star ratings, and they were even giving this guy death threats over social media. This was one of the posts on this gentleman's business page. The official of the game also has a roofing business. And this is right. A good official. He's working the Final Four this sure. weekend. It's not like it's a scrub official. This is what a Kentucky fan wrote on his business page. Wouldn't trust this man to do any roof, siding, or gutters, or to ref any basketball game.
God's sake.
Those calls were as crooked as I've ever seen. Here's another one. Did you know that John isn't roofing? He's busy screwing over basketball teams in the state of Kentucky.
I don't mean to laugh. But
if his integrity, and it's all misspelled too, if his integrity refereeing is anything like the integrity of his roofing business, you will be out of luck no matter what you do. And these go on and on. One guy calls him a crook. One guy's dropping F-bombs. Other people are giving this guy death threats.
Well, we both watched that game. Was there one call in particular they have a problem with? Or was it like just the overall?
The overall flow of the game.
The flow of the game. People are so dumb, especially these, overhyped, beer-fueled fans looking for somebody to rage at, looking for any excuse they can to come up with besides the fact that their team lost, didn't defend that last-second shot from North Carolina.
Right. Kentucky fans will argue that the first half, there were too many fouls called against Kentucky. That put some of their star players in foul trouble, and their head coach, John Calipari, one of the best in the business, but not a really ethical kind of guy, if you have followed his career, did not help the situation, taking a shot at the officials in the postgame. Quote, it's amazing that we were even in the game when they practically fouled out my team.
Oh, wow.
Amazing that we even had a chance. So proud of how these guys fought.
So, yeah, again, fuel to the fire right there, Calipari not helping. But attacking the guy's personal business, his roofing business?
Death threats.
Psychos.
Death threats. But you know what? You're Kentucky. Don't put yourself in that position. This is what you guys do. You go out, you get a bunch of one and done NBA guys. You allegedly may bend the rules from time to time to get them there. Don't complain that a white guy hits an elbow jumper to knock you out of the tournament. Shut up. Take your loss and go home.
Before we go to break here, Hammer, once again, who are you rooting for this weekend in the Final Four versus who do you think will win the NCAA men's basketball tournament?
Whoever wins the North Carolina-Oregon game is going to win it all. I think it's going to be North Carolina. The other game is the JV game, Gonzaga against South Carolina. But, man, I love South Carolina's head coach. I love Frank Martin.
Yeah, we've talked about him several nights this week.
Does it with defense, plays good team balls, got good point guard play, and that's what you need to win in the tournament. So let's see what they got. But if I had to put money down, awful hard to go against Tar Heels.
Coming up next, breaking news, Hammer, Ivanka Trump's got a new job.
Ooh.
We'll tell you about that. And a story involving a giant boa constrictor snake that is horrific.
I'm already scared.
It's the Chad Benson Show. Hammer and Nigel filling in for Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show. Kid tested. Mother approved.
Big thanks to Chad Benson for letting us fill in for him this week. We are the Hammer and Nigel Show. My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer sitting over there. And we got a Twitter poll going at Hammer and Nigel. You want to set that up there, big guy?
Al Gore's got the sequel coming out this summer to An Inconvenient Truth. It's another one of his global warming movies, mm-hmm. An Inconvenient Sequel. So the poll question tonight, which was the worst sequel that nobody asked for? Caddyshack 2, Blues Brothers 2000, Teen Wolf 2, and Another Stakeout. And right now, it's really close. Another Stakeout has a very slight lead. Richard Dreyfuss, Rosie O'Donnell.
Emilio Estevez. Now, Teen Wolf 2 was starring Jason Bateman, by the way.
Teen Wolf 2.
Yeah.
Teen Wolf 2.
I remember watching that thinking, I like that one. I like Teen Wolf, too.
Did you like that one?
I mean, the original doesn't get much better than Michael J. Fox in the original.
Right.
And, but
surfing on the van in the original one, drinking beer with Styles. It doesn't get any better than that. You can vote right now on our Twitter, at Hammer and Nigel.
Hammer, this from the New York Times. Ivanka Trump, the elder daughter of President Trump, is becoming an official government employee, joining her husband in serving as an unpaid advisor to her father in the White House. Ms. Trump already has an office in the West Wing. She said last week that she would serve as an informal advisor to her father, but that plan prompted a lot of criticism from the ethics experts who said it would allow her to avoid some rules and disclosures. But in a statement, she has said that she'll be subject to all the same rules as other federal employees. Again, her official title, assistant to the president, Jared Kushner, senior advisor to the president. So if you're Donald Trump, you're surrounding yourself with people you trust.
Has anyone alerted Chris Matthews of MSNBC yet? Because he will tell you it's just like Saddam Hussein and his kids being in the office.
I don't think so. Yeah, he's gonna go crazy tonight.
The old man's gonna have a stroke on this one, as Chet would say in Weird Science, for sure.
Dude, what this good Lord, this snake story is about as awful and horrifying as it gets. And it's making its rounds on social media, the internet today. What happened?
A man who went missing in Indonesia earlier this week, near his own house, near his own garden, was found inside the stomach of a 20-foot-long snake, and he was basically whole. His body was not,
digested
in any way. The locals in the area cut open the snake. And there's video of this going around social media.
I've watched it.
I watched it as well.
Horrible.
They cut the snake open, and there's a whole human inside. It's just the most bizarre thing you could watch. And it's a reminder that Mother Nature is a badass. Because
how did he die? Was he dead already? Did the snake kill him and then eat him?
It's assumed that the python choked this guy to death. And then the python itself choked while trying to swallow him whole. I guess that happens quite a bit for these big, massive python snakes.
Eyes are a little bit bigger in your stomach.
Exactly. But this was just horrific video. And we were having a discussion off air. The worst way to go via an animal. The worst way to die that involves a critter. This one is bad. But, man, I don't know. I don't know if I want to get attacked by an alligator either.
Well, I don't know. Here's what I understand. He must have been sleeping or passed out or something, because, Bo, I don't think those snakes are all too quick, right? It's not like it's a cobra or a rattler. These things are giants. They're like they move at a very slow pace. If you're a boa constrictor, you're not just like, a king cobra, pretty quick, right?
This is a big 20-foot-long monster.
So I'm thinking, like, they must have got a hold of the guy if he was passed out or sleeping or something, and it choked him out, and then ate him.
Good ate Lord. Him whole.
As far as going out by a critter, being taken out by a wild animal, probably my worst is a grizzly bear or a lion.
Oh, the old revenant attack, like Leo had in the movie with the grizzly bear.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. That was such a great movie, and that scene was so intense.
Although it's hard to take that bear seriously because it was a guy in a costume.
No, it was a real bear.
It's not a real bear.
I have the movie. We've all seen Semi-Pro with Will Ferrell in the ring fighting that bear as a promotion in his ABA basketball. But, probably a bear. Or alive, eaten alive by a shark. If I'm swimming in the ocean, I go to the Gulf of Mexico every year. I've pretty much stopped getting in the ocean, and it terrifies me. Even when I bring my like little 3-year-old girl out there, I don't let her get very far out there either.
Would you bring your wasp spray to the ocean to try to help combat the sharks all the critters that are out there? I'm an alligator, man. Just the thought of an alligator clamping down on you, dragging you into the water, and then. No, thank you. I'm tapping out on that one. I'm out.
We got a follow-up real quick, Hammer, here of a story from last night. The Las Vegas Raiders coming to Vegas in a couple years, correct?
Right, and I've said all along it's going to be the biggest home field advantage of any team because of what happens around that stadium. And if you know the name Dennis Hoff, then you've probably been up to no good at some point in your life.
Bunny Ranch?
He's the guy that runs all the bunny ranches and brothels around the Las Vegas area. And guess what he plans to open up? A Raider-style brothel.
We're excited. We're going to open up one of my places. I got a new place I'm going to open up in Southern Nevada because of this. And it's the first sports team-based brothel in the world. And what we're envisioning is is girls in Raiders cheerleaders outfits and sports memorabilia all over the walls, because I've got a lot of Raiders memorabilia, trust me. And it's just a theme-based brothel about sports, just like I did my alien cat house, which is on the test site missile range right at the border.
Just like, what did he say? Just like his what?
Alien cat house.
It's just a theme-based brothel about sports, just like I did my alien cat house. On the test site.
What I love, he's using that as a reference. If you love the alien cat house, you're going to love the Raiders theme brothel.
And I'm sure Roger Goodell in the NFL would love to be associated with the brothel brand from Dennis Hoff.
Nothing says loving like a hooker that looks like John Madden walking around.
I had no idea there was an alien-themed whorehouse. That is amazing.
Just like I did my alien cat house, which is on the test site missile range right at the borderline.
Oh, yeah. Find our Twitter poll. We got an interesting one up on our Twitter handle, at Hammer and Nigel. My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer sitting over there. We're the Hammer and Nigel Show, filling in for Chad Benson.
This is the Chad Benson Show.